This week, Texas began to reopen, but ordinary life is still far away. Most businesses are still closed, friends are still distant, and our old lives are still out of reach. This week on Note to Self, our guests tell us about the freedom found in reordering priorities and the power of adaptability in uncertain times. They tell us how, in solitude, we can know ourselves deeply and learn to love our friends and family in new ways. Here's Ryan, Stephanie, Natasha, and Ellie.
I keep hearing people say, "I'm so bored," and "I feel so confined." And maybe it's a sign that we're all going stir crazy, or maybe it's an indication that we are accustomed to being busy. Our normal lives are busy, and that's because we live in a busy world. And when everything outside of our homes is suddenly deemed non-essential, our favorite coffee shops, parks, friends, churches, that's where we find ourselves as individuals. At home, we are left to our own devices with our own thoughts. At home, we merely exist. Of course, we exist outside of our homes too, I don't deny that. But the outside version of ourselves is one that we can only perceive in the context of outside things. For instance, when we go out with friends, we experience a version of ourselves in the context of that social group. When we go to the store, we experience a version of ourselves in the context of needing groceries. Being alone gives us the ability to see who we really are outside of our routines. It helps us more closely examine ourselves without distraction. We can think about the day we've had, find what we're grateful for, pay attention to how we feel, and pray for tomorrow. Right now, if we are staying home, we have a gift. We have ample opportunity to think about how we spend our lives when we aren't busy. And this realization has prompted me with two questions. First, what do I do when I cannot do much of anything? And second, what do I do with that? Since I haven't been able to do much else, I have begun to learn the art of Byzantine iconography. It is an ancient form of Eastern Christian art that typically depicts biblical scenes and portrays images of Christ and the saints. Creating these sacred images is a form of devotion and is done in prayer and meditation. It serves as a way to focus my mind on heaven and has further opened my eyes to the beauty of quietness. I have also been afforded the time to pray, read, paint, write like never before. If ever I didn't have time for these things before the quarantine, and I still find myself neglecting them, it was never a time thing, it was a priority thing. Since I'm mostly done with my social and academic commitments for a while, I guess I should spend some more time in prayer. Since I don't have schoolwork right now, I guess I should spend some time reading the dozen books that are on my shelf that I haven't opened. You know, I have every excuse right now to spend my quarantine time doing things that are worthwhile and finding out what things are worthwhile. I hope that we can all cultivate healthy intellectual and prayer lives that we can bring back into the real world with us. Because when it's all over, we're going to be back in the bustle of life. There is no way to escape that for most of us. But we also don't have to escape ourselves. Instead of escaping ourselves when we re-emerge back into the world, we should reform ourselves right now, cultivating habit and virtue that we can bring back into the world with us.
I'm a speech-language pathologist in a medical facility. I work with the most vulnerable population. They range from age 60 to over 100 and have plenty of health conditions. I love to spend my spare time with my family and friends, going out to eat, watching movies, finding places to walk around. Quality time in person with my favorite people gives meaning to my life. So when the shelter-in-place policy began, I felt really lost. I had to grieve for a couple weeks because I was realizing that I was going to be physically separated from all of the people who matter the most to me, for who knows how long. That meant watching a lot of mind-numbing TV to fight off the loneliness for a while, but eventually I accepted that this was the new normal for a while, and I found other things to look forward to and enjoy, like taking a walk around my neighborhood or cooking my favorite meals from childhood or knitting. It wasn't too long after I started finding things to enjoy about this season that I tested positive for COVID-19. That meant that I was not allowed to leave my apartment for 2 weeks for any reason except to seek medical care. And I really struggled with this because I had guilt knowing that I maybe unintentionally exposed my patients to this virus. I wondered if there was something I could have done differently, how I got this virus at all, and if I had failed to protect my patient somehow. One thing I've learned during this pandemic has been that it's a bit like a magnifying glass on certain character traits. There were people who expressed judgment that I must not have taken enough precautions or must not have followed the recommendations by the CDC. There were so many more people, though, that reached out to me and offered to buy me groceries or give me financial help because I was losing so much income. There are people who texted me consistently just to ask how I was doing. And it's also been a magnifying glass for my own character traits. I know that I always imagined that if I had all the time I could ever want to myself, I would be more productive, more organized, and happier. And I honestly haven't found that to be true. I still avoid the things I don't want to do and make time for the things I do. Those 2 weeks of quarantine brought me face to face with my habits, my thoughts, and my motivations. I don't want to go back to fantasizing that I would be a better person if I just had more time to do all the things I know I should do. And I don't want to forget the generosity and kindness of people who reached out to me when I had this virus. I really want to hold on to this comfort with my thoughts and emotions that I've developed through all this time alone. And I want to continue to recognize what an incredible gift it is to sit across the table with someone at a restaurant or next to them in a movie theater or just be physically present with people.
I went through a lot of different stages during this quarantine, as I'm sure a lot of people have. Kind of fearful at first, maybe not even taking it as seriously. Haven't quite reached the haircutting stage, but I feel like it's really given me the space and the time to be more creative. I started painting more, knitting more, even redecorated my room. I started a garden with my family, which I've been wanting to do forever. So in a way, it's been a gift to be able to just have the time to do all the things that I've been putting off for so long. And not feel stressed that I'm missing out on something else. The challenging part, though, is that I am such an extrovert. That was really hard to just not be able to be face to face with people, be in the presence of people, but kind of just having to make the best out of Zoom calls and FaceTime calls and Netflix parties, which has been fun, but I love having people in my home, and that's just not really a thing right now. Kind of felt like FOMO at first, we were missing out, but everybody's experiencing the same thing, which in a way is sort of comforting, but also sad because it made me realize how important human connection is, and just really taking out the time to call those friends and family members that I probably normally wouldn't have if I didn't have all this extra time. I had a conversation with one of my mentors recently, and I was telling her how my first instinct when all of this happened was to make sure that those around me were okay. Just running around, grabbing groceries, making sure my elderly neighbors were okay, making sure everybody had enough toilet paper and water. And I was telling her how, in a way, I kind of felt a bit overwhelmed because I'm still working during online school, and then I kind of added this extra activity for myself to make sure those around me were okay. And she told me that, Natasha, when you're on a plane, they tell you to put your mask on first so that you can help those around you. And I think that's the biggest thing that I'll be taking with me out of quarantine is making sure that I'm okay and knowing that it's okay to take time for myself and check on myself before checking on other people. But this time has been such a gift, and I'm just so grateful for all the time I've even got to spend in the Word and just learning to be still and be quiet and hear what God is trying to say during this time. It's been an unintentional period of rest, but I'm really thankful for it, and I don't think any of us will be leaving this time the same.
Quarantine for me has looked like a colossal change in the middle of a million other colossal changes. I guess my quarantine kind of officially began when I was evacuated from Ethiopia rather suddenly. I had been about 2 weeks away from swearing in as a Peace Corps volunteer in the health sector, and I had planned on spending 2 more years there. Looking back, it feels like I was there for decades, but it was only 3 months. But that time was jam-packed with learning the new language, adapting to a completely different cultural context, and living with a host family who I initially could only communicate with through really emotive body language and smiles. But yeah, one morning we woke up to an email that told us that we were packing our bags, and a few days later we found ourselves on a plane back to the States. I remember so vividly laughing with my fellow trainees as we heard for the millionth time in training sessions that Peace Corps volunteers had to be incredibly adaptable. And I still laugh because we've definitely heard it entirely too much, but it is so true. And of course, not just of Peace Corps volunteers, but human beings are so incredibly adaptable. And I've seen that in this really beautiful way throughout this time. What I've been feeling within myself is that, like, at the absolute core of who we are is this desire for connection and to ensure that we can care for the people that we love. And a lot of the concerns and the fears during this time are, how am I going to be able to financially support the people that I love? Are the people that I love safe? Are they at risk? How can I be present for the people that I love during this time when I can't see them face to face and I miss that community? This was something that I had been starkly aware of when I was in Ethiopia. There, everything was done in service of others. There were meals that took 4 hours to prepare. Laundry took 4 to 5 hours on the weekends, and it used every muscle in your body. And it was all done routinely and happily, because it was how we continued. It was how we survived and how we lived well. I certainly hope that that's something I continue to grow within myself. The realization is just the beginning point. There's a lot of time to develop new skills, but there's also ample opportunity to do a lot of inner work. And I absolutely understand that that's easier said than done. That is what I'm telling myself every day. But hopefully we leave this and carry with us that we were able to reconfigure what it meant to love people well, and that we were able to adapt to a extremely bizarre situation and to do that with some personal growth along the way. So yeah, that's what quarantine has been for me.
As the world reopens, however slowly, I know we'll be tempted to return to our old ways of life. We're hungry for the ordinary and the known. But let's resist the urge to rush back to the comfort of old routines. Let's face the future with thoughtfulness and intention, and not with haste. I hope we're brave enough to step into a new season, one where we value all workers, where we know ourselves well, and where we care for our neighbors in tangible ways. Thanks for listening to Note to Self, reminders to our post-quarantine selves. This podcast is produced by Ben Coleman and hosted by me, Corey. See you next time.